Well, they're a force to be reckoned with again, the Hawthorn Footy Club. Not too many people were bullish about them last year, and they did what they did, and there were some sceptics out there again. Going into 2019, well, they're 3-3. They've got a percentage of plus 100, and they've still got a couple of handy players to come back in, seasoned handy players. And when you see their veterans do what they did after halftime on the weekend, you know that they're going to take a power of beaning in more weeks than not. And one of those reasons is Liam Shields. He's certainly one of the reasons they got over the line. Down in Tassie on Sunday, and he's been good enough to join us on the show. Liam, thanks for joining us, mate. We appreciate it on your day off.
No worries, Andy. Thanks for having me.
6-3. How are you reading? You're sort of, the dust is starting to settle, and you're starting to get a bit of a feel as to, you know, where you sit in the grand scheme of the competition. How are you seeing your progress through the first month and a half?
Yeah, obviously, we probably would have liked to win a couple of games early on there. I think we put ourselves in a position to win against the Western Bulldogs, and we all know they came out and kicked 9 goals in the last quarter that got them over the line. And then against St Kilda, we played some really good footy as well. So I think the positive thing is we've been in all games that we've played, but just, a bit disappointing that we've lost a few of those. But the competition is so even nowadays, you only have to be off for a quarter or so and you're not going to win the game. So we're definitely not playing our best footy, but we're building towards it.
Did you, those two games that you lost, did you identify something that might have been common to both of those defeats?
No, not necessarily. I guess in both games, we lost two players late in the third quarter in both of those games. So the other teams were able to run over the top of us. But I think it's just learning. Like, we've still got a fair few young guys at the side, so that experience, the more games you get into those guys at the start of the year will only benefit us.
So, Ari, that was the answer I was kind of hoping you'd give. You never want to use injuries as excuses. I understand that. But, you know, when you get numbers down, and if you certainly have them down for a sustained period of time in this modern game, how telling do you reckon that is?
Yeah, definitely. As you said, the competition's so even nowadays, so you only have to go a couple of players down, or as I touched on earlier, you only have to be 5% off for one quarter and you're probably going to lose a game. So, yeah, in both those games, I think we lost two players just after half-time or into the third quarter. And, we got found out a little bit and got run over the top of in both games. So, as you said as well, Andy, you don't really like to use that as an excuse, but I think in today's game, it does play a big part.
What do you guys reckon you found after half-time on Sunday?
We're actually pretty calm at halftime. We're a pretty proud group and we've got an enormous amount of belief internally. But Clarko just kind of said, look, they've kicked 8 goals, we've kicked 3. There's no one saying that we can't come out and kick 8 goals this quarter and hold them to 3. So, yeah, we're pretty calm. He didn't really put on any players to lift, but I think we've got a number of experienced guys that have been around for a while that were probably performing not up to their standards. So, they've probably had a look at their own game and realised that they needed to lift a bit. And I think we saw the likes of Bruce and Gunston. Jager was fantastic for the whole game. But Scully, who's been around for a while, not with us, but another club, and he's an experienced player. And also Isaac Smith really lifted in the second half and got us over the line.
You were instrumental as well. They wouldn't have won it without your performance after halftime. I know you're not going to throw yourself into the mix, but just for the record, let me do it. Hey, we spoke to Isaac. We were covering the game down there, and we spoke to Isaac Smith after the game, and he said, you know, he was like breathing sighs of relief, and he couldn't quite believe how badly you guys had played in the first half. It was a head scratcher really for him, but he came out after the game and said that, something along the lines of, we had to remember just to enjoy ourselves and get the smiles back on our faces. He said something along the lines that we were kind of really tense in that first half, and that we had to just kind of start to breathe and just let it happen again. Is there some kind of truth to or accuracy to the way that that Isaac was reading the kind of tone of the group at halftime?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was probably an expectation that we'd go out and win that game. So maybe that expectation wasn't fantastic. And then at halftime, as I said, we're pretty calm. But, yeah, we knew we just needed to come out and celebrate the little things. So celebrate the smothers, the tackles, picking blokes up off the ground. That brings that excitement. And then when we get our goals, bring that energy, especially for the young boys. That's what we want them to decide for, is bring that energy, bring that excitement. But take nothing away from Carlton. They're a developing side. They played some great footy against the Western Bulldogs last week. So they really put it to us in the first quarter. And We couldn't match him. So, yeah, take nothing away from the Blues.
I'm happy to hear you say that, but that's a that's a conversation for another place at another time, I reckon. So you talk about them the previous week. There was something really interesting going on with you lot the previous week against Geelong, and it centred around Alistair Clarkson down on the bench. We're seeing a lot of that this year, probably because of, you know, the no runners. And he was very up and about, high fives, you know, encouraging, smiling, seemingly making a real point of keeping the mood light down on the bench. Did you know that was coming? Was that something that had been discussed going into that Geelong game? And did Clarko kind of, you know, address that with you guys?
Yeah, he did. He addressed in the leadership meeting on the Monday. Just said that he was thinking about coming down to the bench. He's got an enormous amount of faith in his assistant coaches to make the right moves. And I think he just wanted to get a better feel for the game. Sometimes sitting up in the coach's box, it can look quite easy. You notice all the space out there. But once you're down at ground level, you really get a feel for the contest and the bumps that the players are getting. But also that immediate feedback to players coming off on and off the bench. And I was actually sitting in the stand and noticed Clarko give Mitchy Lewis a big high five. He kicked his first goal for the footy club, I think, and also Ruffy as well, who's been around for a while. I think he kicked the first goal for the game, and Clarko got around him. So it was great to see. And it's been working well for us at the moment. But yeah, it's great that we've got a number of different assistant coaches that can really drive the structure stuff from upstairs, but also that direct line to Clark on the bench. So when the players come off, he can feed us information straight away.
And just on a slightly different question that I was thinking as I'm talking to you about this, and it's a tangent away from what you guys are doing week to week at Hawthorn, but there's this conversation that's happening in world sport, and I remember I heard David Silver, the CEO of the NBA, talking about this not that long ago, that, you know, this time of, you know, a lot of pro sports people are, you know, making a lot of money and they're living good lives and they've got everything they need, but they're not enjoying their sport at the moment. You know, the pressures that are coming to bear, the week in, week out, social media, access that people have, and, you know, this young generation that gets really affected by that. There's a lot of kind of unhappy people that are playing. I think I heard Paul Marsh mentioning this a couple of weeks ago, that there's a lot of this in footy. Is that something that you've noticed, that there are kind of unusually high anxiety levels amongst certain players, and maybe that's part of the reason that Clarko's tried to, you know, change the atmosphere a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think the kids coming in nowadays are a little bit more emotionally intelligent. I know with social media and things like that, they're probably they're reading all those comments and things like that. They spend a fair bit of time on their phone. And as you said, there's a lot of pressures coming out to perform. So I think, yeah, players are playing their best footy when they're enjoying it. And it's something we've got to do here at Hawthorn is make the environment and training as much fun as possible. There are times when we're going to need to be serious and sit in meetings and review our games, which is never fun, especially after a loss. But, yeah making the club, I guess, as vibrant and as fun as possible. I think when we do that, that's definitely when we play our best footy.
Talking to Liam Shields from the Hawthorn Footy Club, who are in the mix again. So going back to something you said before, and you know, you're part of this really great group of, you know, senior players who have played a lot of footy together now, you know, a lot of premierships together, and you've mentioned the names. And, you know, there's a couple more on the outside, you know, Burgoyne's to come back in. I'll ask you about Grant Birchall a bit later. And, you know, James Frawley didn't play on the weekend. How much do you guys lean on one another out there during the week? You've got a really young list beneath that collection of senior players. How much do you take on board driving this culture that has existed clearly at the Hawthorn Footy Club and making sure that those that you're playing with on a weekend and those that are coming through as part of the next wave of developing Hawks understand what it is to, you know, be a member of this footy team?
Yeah, enormous amount. I think we try to relate to the young guys as much as possible. Probably, yeah, it wasn't long ago that we were looking up to the likes of Luke Hodge, Sam Mitchell, Josh Gibson, John Lewis, Ruffy. These guys that were in the leadership group back then, now that's us. And we need to educate these young guys. And I guess part of that was telling stories about what we used to do when we were the young guys coming through. So whether that's catch up for a 5-minute chat before the game or little things throughout the week, taking a couple of meetings, as we touched on earlier, Andy, making sure the club is a fun and vibrant place. That's what we ask from our young guys. And that's up to us senior guys, the leaders, to really drive the culture of the footy club and make sure that's happening on game day, but also throughout the week.
Oh, I reckon that's invaluable. I really do. Do you take any notice, I don't know whether you've been in all your time at the footy club and been there for a long time now, whether you've been a student of the list build that's taken place around you? I mean, in the time that, you know, Roughhead was there before you, obviously, but he's the only top 10 player that Hawthorn has drafted to the club. You've got five others who you've traded in, but in the time that, you know, you've been there and prior to, there's only one top 10 player that Hawthorn's drafted in. It's been a remarkable list build that's taken place around you, and it underlines the fact that this is very much a destination club. Have you been proud of the way, if that's for want of a better word, have you been proud of the way that the list management team has been able to continually turn this list over without necessarily having, you know, access to top end draft talent?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a credit to our coaching staff and especially Clark over setting up the system and also Graham Wright, the recruiting manager, for setting up the system that we've got in place for developing young players. It's amazing. Like you look at Luke Bruce, he was my draft. He was a rookie player. Yeah. And he's come along. He's two-time All-Australian, one of the best small forwards in the game. So, I think Wrighty picking the right people to come to the footy club, guys who want to learn, guys who are dedicated and committed, but then also Clark and the coaching staff are putting the right, I guess, drills and meetings in place to really develop these guys into good AFL footballers. So, yeah, something that I've taken a close eye to. I feel very grateful in a way. I was drafted here as a 17-year-old and, hopefully finish my career as a one-club player, but you speak to guys coming across from other clubs and they're very happy here. They say it's a great club. So, yeah, in a way, I feel very grateful that I've been here from such a young age.
Oh, they've been lucky to have you. So, it goes both ways, I reckon. Hey, is James Sicily calmer? Am my eyes deceiving me? Is Sicily a little bit calmer this year than he has been in previous seasons?
I think he is. I think he's matured a little bit. He's at that age now where he's been around for a little bit, and I think he's learned his lessons the hard way a couple of times. But, yeah, he's definitely matured a little bit, but he's a fantastic player and a fantastic guy to have around the footy club. And we want Sis playing on the edge, and I think he tested that a few times early days where he crossed the line and, he got pulled back in a little bit. But, we want him playing right on the edge, like the best players in the competition do. Hodgie always played on the edge. Jordan Lewis always played on the edge. And every now and again, they'd cross it. But I think Sis has matured a lot. And I think one of the great things with Sis is we've really seen him grow as a leader probably over the last 12 months. And part of that is realising when his actions are going to do the wrong thing. And, he's been able to pull himself back a couple of times. I know he copped a big hit from Hawkins couple of weeks ago against Geelong, and I think he handled himself really well after that as well.
Talking to Liam Shields, he's one of those remarkable players. I think he's, as you've said, he's an incredibly gifted footballer. He never seems he never lets the state of the game, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he's one of those players that never seems to let the state of the game or the pressure that builds within a contest stop him from taking the game on. You want players making the right decision and taking the right option, but some players, when it gets really tight, you know, will sort of go back and long bomb it down the line. But it seems to me that Sicily's one of those players that doesn't matter if it's, you know, a couple of minutes to go and there's a kick in it. If he sees a kick, he'll back himself to pull the trigger and he'll back his skill set. How valuable, if I've got that right, how valuable is having players who just back themselves at the right time? How valuable are those guys to have in your side?
Yeah, absolutely. They're the game breakers, I guess, the guys that can really open up with one kick through the middle. And we've seen Sis do that a number of different times. But I think that's just in his nature. He doesn't really stress too much about too much. And if he makes a mistake, he's just forgetting about it and trying to pull a harder kick the next time, which is what makes him a special player. But, yeah, in today's game where both sides are defending really well, having a guy like Sis down back that can really slice open a defence with his shoe, he's so valuable for the side. And as you said, no matter what stage you're in the game, you kind of want the ball in his hands.
He's a fantastic player. Just last one before I let you go. Grant Birchall, he's almost a forgotten guy. He's still there and he's still plugging away. And how's he tracking, Liam? How's he looking to you?
Yeah, he's looking good. His knees, which was a major issue, has healed up really well, and he's got a lot of confidence in that. He's just had a couple of slight niggles with his calf now, but he's upbeat. He's still really motivated. I know it can be challenging at times. Obviously, he's been out of the game for 2 years now, so I haven't seen any decline in his motivation, his commitment to the footy club. He's still here. He's still speaking up in meetings and attacking his rehab full on. So, yeah, I'm very confident that we'll see him out on the park at some stage this year, and I think he's only 4 or 5 games off playing 250, so yeah, it'd be awesome to get into that milestone.
Gee, that'd be a nice little bonus if you could bring him back in the second half of the year at some stage when you're in the mix. It'd be a lovely calming influence to be able to slot back on a halfback flank or in a back pocket somewhere, just having his know-how and calmness and ball use back in that fold would be pretty special. Mate, well done on the weekend. It's 3-3. You're in the mix again. Melbourne on Saturday, MCG. It's going to be a high-pressure game for Melbourne, obviously. It's kind of all or nothing for them almost at that stage already. Early in the season, we know what Hawthorn will bring to the table, and we know what you'll bring to the table. Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us on the show, and good luck on the weekend. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Andy.